Blog Talk Radio.
The First Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 1.
Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
Amen, amen. It's the issues, Fisherman. So glad to welcome to the program tonight. It is Thursday, December the 20th, 2018. We pray all is well with you. We pray all is well with your family. And thank you for joining us tonight. All those who are listening at www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr, we thank you. We appreciate you. Those of you who called in at 646-668-2636, again, thank you. We'll see you there. And if you want to join the conversation this evening, just press 1 on your keypad, and we can bring you into the conversation. Well, tonight we're going to be talking with Ms. Patricia Harris, and she's part of the Young Writers at Rock, and they're doing a play, a short film, Tormentors. It's about bullying, so we're going to talk to her tonight and find out some more information about it, and hopefully you support it on this, because this Sunday, the 23rd of December, at 4 p.m. is going to be a screening of the short film in the Baltimore, Maryland area, and we're just going to take this opportunity and get the information out there, let you know about it. I believe this is the second screening, so hopefully there'll be more around and better opportunity to bring it to your location, your facility, your church, your club, your youth ministry, whatever, because bullying is one of those things that now is being plagued by for young people in the schools, in the neighborhoods, and, you know, in the last couple of weeks, I believe it was, there's a couple of young people, these are now preteens, who are being bullied and taking their lives. And so this is an issue that we're trying to want to address, want to get on the forefront of for parents and teachers and caregivers and godparents and uncles and nephews, whoever. That is something real in our children, and it's affecting our children and their upbringing. And even though on the other side, I haven't seen the short film yet, but there's also, you know, those who are being bullied, the victims, and also those are being bullied, and that comes from somewhere too. There's a certain place where that comes from too. So we're going to bring Ms. Harris in here, and we're going to start discussing the film. She's going to share insights on the film. Amen? Amen. Hey, Sister Harris, can you hear me? It's Deacon Farr. How are you this evening?
Yes, I can hear you, Deacon Farr. Thank you so much for having me on with you this evening.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for taking time out, and thank you for putting together this short film. But first, let's begin. Tell the audience who you are. Tell us a little bit about who you are, your background, and also what is it, Young? Oh, man, I had it right in front of me. Young Writers Rock. Let's talk about that a little bit. And tell us about that and what that's doing. That's how we first met. And then we'll get into the short film. Go ahead.
Sure. So as you mentioned, for your listeners, my name is Patricia Harris. I am the founder of the African American Authors Expo, which is an annual book expo that we do to support and highlight local independent book authors. And through doing the Authors and Empowerment Expo, we came up with the idea just because we had seen that there were so many youth that were engaged with the authors and with the stories that the authors were telling at the expo, that we decided to provide a program where they too can creatively express themselves through the written word. So in 2016, at the end of 2016, we developed the Youth Writers Rock program, and that kind of just took its own life, you know, starting 2017. Again, the program is designed to just kind of give the youth this platform where they can just describe their thoughts, their ideas, you know, stories that they might have deep into their head, even if they want to just express how they're feeling, something they're going through, something that they just want to put out there on written paper. We give them the program itself is a 6-month program. It's a 6-month writing program. And we have professional authors, entrepreneurs that are on the staff of Youth Writers Rock that help these individuals, these youth, go through 7 pillars of writing a book. So they get to learn different styles of writing. They get to learn a little bit about editing, you know, how to rewrite your work, you know, how to bring the reader into the story that you're developing. They learn a little bit about illustration. So they're really getting creative, describing their characters, the colors, you know, the hairstyles, what they look like. And then they learn about marketing, and they learn a little bit about publishing. So these bright individuals, you know, that we have in the program, just in 2017, 10 of them graduated and are now published authors. So our goal with the Youth Writers Rock program is to give just the youth in Baltimore City, Baltimore County, the opportunities to be a published author by creatively expressing their thoughts and their ideas on written paper. And last year was a successful year. They wrote 3 books last year, all on Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, any site where you can purchase a book. The 3 books that the youth wrote are up on those sites. We had an elementary school group that were kids ages 9 through 11. They wrote a book for elementary school age youth called The Super Avengers of the Red Balloon. And that book was really special because in this book, the 3 of the youth that wrote the book came up with ways that they can help if they had superpowers, how they can help people in their community. So the book is about really just these youth giving back, you know, with the special powers that they have and supporting and helping people in their community. And then we had 3 youth in our middle school group who wrote a book, you know, towards middle school age youth called The STEM Detectives. And this is based around 3 kids who went to the same STEM school, and they used, 4 kids, I apologize, they used science, technology, engineering, and math to find some hidden treasure. So we really wanted to engage the middle school youth with that particular book on how, you know, they can use their skill set of science and math and engineering and have fun while doing it and come up with this scheme of finding different lost objects and items and different things like that. So that's what the STEM Detective is about. And lastly, the 4 students in the high school group, 3 of which had experienced bullying themselves firsthand, and as they had their discussion about what they wanted to write about, that kind of was the first thing that each of them wrote on their list of something that they wanted to discuss, and that was bullying. And not just bullying, but conflict resolutions, you know, how do we get to the bottom of it? How do we resolve it? You know, how do we try and eliminate it, you know, in high school? So the 4 of them decided to write a book about bullying called The Tormentors. And when we first put that book out on Amazon, it became an Amazon bestseller in one day, in that category. for youth. And we just saw how well it was doing and the number of responses we were getting from different organizations to come and have the kids come out and speak about bullying and different things like that, that we decided to take it another level so that we can reach a lot of different schools and organizations out of Maryland. And so we came up through fundraising the money to do a short film based on the book written by the four high school students called The Tormentors. So getting back to, you know, the original introduction, yes, we have a second screening of The Tormentors. The first one was the premiere that happened back in October, can't remember. But it was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. And we had such a great, great response from people who was not able to make the premiere that we decided to do a second screening, and that's going to take place this Sunday, December the 23rd at 4 p.m. And it's going to be at the Horizon Beltway Movie Theater in Baltimore, which is on Bel Air Road. And so we're hoping that with it being the 23rd and a lot of people are off school and off work for vacation, that they'll be able to grab any youth in the neighborhood, youth from their church, youth from different organizations, and bring them all out to come see The Tormentors, because I think it's a really great film that shows how these students in this particular school learned how to come up with a resolution to this issue of bullying that was taking place in North Heights High School. And they come together as one and finally get to the bullies and ask them, you know, why do? What you do? And had them really think about doing and really understand why they're doing what they're doing, and help them come up with a resolution to fix the reason why they feel the need to bully. And basically it was that, you know, hurt people hurt people. So they wanted to get to the bottom line of why are you hurting people? What's going on with you? You know, have you been hurt? And different things like that. So the story is a great way, a great introduction into sitting down and having discussions, you know, about bullying in public schools.
Amen, 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 amen. I think that is, you're right, it's good something. I see that you also included, you know, some of the bullies and see why they do what they think. I think that is the most important thing, that, you know, because, again, these are kids, these are children. And the way sometimes the society is set up and the cultures and the environments that these young people live in today, that they're dealing with in their home lives, you know, and some of that is reflected back in how they act out amongst their peers, especially in the schools, because that's where they're, you know, they're basically congregating, where they build their social interactions. And, you know, sometimes those who don't have a voice in their home, then they tend to act out in, you know, in society to make themselves feel better. So I think that's important that you touched on that. Well, let me ask you this. Well, you know, and so, well, we know it's in the theater, and the theater is located at, let me see what I have here. And for those of you who live in Baltimore, it's on Bel Air Road. It's at 7660 Bel Air Road in Baltimore, Maryland, 21235. That's the Horizon Beltway Cinema, Plaza Cinema up there. And what time is it on the 23rd?
It's on the 23rd at 4 p.m. The showing is at 4 p.m.
At 4 p.m.
At 4 p.m., yep. And the actors that are in the movie will be there. We're going to do a Q&A session after the movie. So those that are in attendance will get the opportunity to ask questions to the cast members about, you know, the film itself, about the subject title, you know, even about the process of making the film. And the authors who wrote the book will also be there, that can really speak to being a part of the Youth Writers Rock program and what that was like for them. And then having a book that is now an Amazon bestseller. And, you know, Deacon Farr, what I get the most joy of out of is that, you know, these kids have now, since they've been a part of this program, has excelled in school, we've gotten notes from parents, you know, that they've excelled further in school now that they've attended this program. The parents have received notes from their teachers that they have started to excel. So it does us really, really great to know that, you know, when they dedicated themselves to coming to program every Saturday for 6 months, that they learned a lot of skill sets that can help them move further, you know, with their education or while they're in school. So it's great to see them, once strangers, now they're friends or family, I should say. So the program isn't just about writing, but it's a fellowship program because they get to learn new techniques and ways with language arts, and then they get to meet new members of now what they call their family. So I think that when these kids come out and they talk about their experience in the Youth Writers Rock program, they talk about how it's changed their lives, and that they always encouraging other youth to be a part of the program and just experience it themselves.
Amen, amen. I mean, I remember I couldn't make the last time they did the awards last year, and I am going to definitely be at this, to see this movie and help support it and help get it out there. Do you have plans to do another screening later on in the year or in the new year? Or are you going to keep rotating it around town, or we don't know yet?
Well, our next step is the film is now listed in 15 film festivals. So we are just waiting to hear back from those festivals whether or not the tormentors have been selected. And if so, we'll be taking the film to, you know, those cities and kind of showing the film out there. So we're excited about that we got entries into 15 film festivals with the tormentors. And our next step right now is that we have conversations now with Baltimore Public School System and looking to put this into the program in the public school system. So it'll be in 2019. We'll be doing another screening, but once we get the whole school system thing in order, then we'll kind of set up another screening. So I can't say when that'll be.
Amen.
Yet. We'll have another one in 2019.
Amen, amen. You just have the vision. You don't have to have the details of the vision. You just need to have the vision. Amen.
Yes.
Let me ask you this though: if churches or youth departments wanted to have to show the film in locally, is that possible yet, or is it just it's just theater ready?
Nope, it is possible. We actually have a couple of events on the calendar for 2019. The Delta organization does an annual event that they've asked us to come out to their conference and show the film. We've received an invitation from Morningstar Baptist Church to come out and show the film there as well. So, yes, we are definitely open to coming to different organizations and different churches and kind of showing the film to their members and their congregations as well. So, yeah, anyone that's looking to do that, please don't hesitate to contact us via email or through our website, which is youthwritersrock.com, and we'd love to hear from them.
Amen. Well, real quick, give your contact phone number and give the email again. And, well, give us all the contact information, website, email, and your phone number for those who are listening. Because we definitely want to get this out there and let it be a conversation to start the conversation. Because, again,
absolutely,
you know, I can't say much because, again, I know of two articles that I read of children under 12 years old who committed suicide because of bullying in their schools. And then we have teenagers. We have, you know, and the thing that I know and understand that bullying comes in different forms. Because the things that we could, you know, back in the day, we did it different, you know, teasing and stuff like that. But it's more emotionally stressing on our children, and the way they're responding to it too. So that's a whole other discussion, but I'll save that for another time. But, you know, I just wanted to encourage folks to come out and see the tormentors, start the conversation, start to find solutions, start to find answers to things, and put it in the forefront. So our children, because even those children who survive these things, they come out traumatized on the other side as adults, and how they handle relationships, because all this stuff is interconnected, interwoven. And then our children today are adults of tomorrow. They have these kind of problems, and we have these kind of problems in relationships. We have these kind of problems in teens and 20-year-olds, in marriages, and it filters all the way through. So I believe, you know, if we can get it early, get it in the root, and find solutions to it and engage it, we can save a lot of lives and a lot of emotional distress and emotional trauma. So, Ms. Harris, please share your contact information for those who reach out. And for all my pastors and elders and folk who listen, I know you listen at different times, but reach out. Because we can bring this into, this is ministry, this is part of it. Because we could be able to reach, and because this is a thing where folk, really, they suffer, children and even young adults suffer in silence with this. You know, and in college, we send our kids off to college. And some of our kids go to college and they don't have no real support system. So, you know, it's fine to send your child away to college. They want to, because, you know, I know 18, 17-year-olds, they think they want to move away from home. They want to go to college. They want to go to California to college. They don't understand.
Right.
They go that far. There's no support system. And then, you know, for whatever reason, pride and other stuff, they don't want to say they want to come back home. But, again, that's another discussion of the show. But again, could you give your contact information so people can reach out to you?
Absolutely. And like you just mentioned with college, like you said, different types of bullying happens at all types of ages, you know. So even in college, they can still experience something like that. But what the movie does do is to encourage them to keep telling themselves and reminding themselves that, you know, they are somebody, you know, and that they're destined for greatness. And whatever it is that they go into, you know, because the movie speaks directly to the bully to kind of get them to just start thinking about what it is that they're doing or why it is they're doing what they're doing, you know. And so the movie kind of thinking about these things and reminding themselves that, you know, they are somebody and that they are destined for greatness, you know, and that they will succeed. You know, and so we think if our youth continue to remind themselves of that, no matter what the situation is or has been, you know, that they are somebody, you know, and that they can succeed, that they'll start to believe it and then they can achieve it. So that was really important to have that in the film and not just represent bully, but represent conflict solutions or a way that we can help those that are in that situation. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit about the movie. And anyone who, again, is wanting to us to come out and show the movie and come out with some of the authors and some of the actors in the movie, you can contact me at my number is 443-421-2070. Our email address is youthwritersrock@gmail.com. And our website is youthwritersrock.com. And Writers has the S at the end of it, so it's youthwritersrock.com. So they can contact us any of those ways and just kind of, even if it's just a matter of, hey, they just want to talk about the program itself, if they want to discuss the showing of the film, if they want some of the actors and authors to just come out to an event as a panel discussion, we're definitely always open and available to do that. The more we can discuss it, the more we can get the word out, I think the better it becomes, you know, on people's mind. You know, we can put it right at the forefront for them that this is happening all over the country, and this is a great way for us to have a discussion about it.
Amen, amen. Well, Sister Harris, I appreciate you taking your time, and I do appreciate the work you're doing, and I pray that it'll touch some lives. If we can reach one through this film and save a life, and we've done it. So, again, this is the Tormentors Short Film Project. The screening is going to be held on Sunday, December 23rd at 4 p.m. at the Horizon Cinemas in Beltway Plaza in Baltimore, Maryland, at 7660 Bel Air Bel Air Road in Baltimore, Maryland, zip code is 21236. You can also go to our Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. You'll see the link there. You'll see the broadcast there. And for those of my regular listeners, please go on the Facebook page, see the link, share the link, send the link to someone. Let them know about the event coming up this weekend. I know lots going on this weekend, but take some time out. It could be a nice way to relax Sunday after you, because you'll be broke by then anyway. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Sister Harris. We have to be transparent. There is a $10. It costs you $10 a ticket to see the movie.
Because
we are still on the fundraiser. It takes money. It takes finance to do these things and to provide things for our children. I think we missed that part, so I'll just make sure we put it out there. Because we don't want you to show up to the theater and then act like you ain't got no money. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that we will give 4 tickets to any of your listeners who are on the line. So if someone is listening to the show, they can contact you, and we'll give 4 tickets for any of your listeners.
Amen. Amen. We appreciate it. Well, there you go. Reach out to me. Inbox me on Facebook. Go to Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. Inbox me. The first 4 y'all. Y'all can get 4 tickets, and or you can get your paid family. So the first inboxes I get, and then we'll make sure you get some tickets and be able to show up there. I appreciate that. Well, again, Ms. Harris, thank you for joining me tonight, and God bless you. And I am pressing to be at the premiere, so we'll be in contact then. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. And you have a wonderful night and be blessed.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Amen. Amen. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We just had an interview with the Miss Patricia Harris, Young Writers Rock, and their new short film, The Tormentors, is going to be have a second showing this Sunday. Again, go to Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. The address and contact information is there. And we just want to support them in talking about bullying our young people in this generation, that we might save a life. Amen. Well, amen. We're going to shift gears here real quick. We're going to go into our conversation tonight. Tonight, we want to continue on our teaching about evangelism, evangelism boot camp, and encouraging. Again, during this time of year, season, between all the shopping, between all the other things that we do, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to be in a place where this is part of who we are as Christian men, leaders in the home, leaders in the family, and leaders in the church, that we are preparing, and we are prepared. For those of us who are in the military, we understand boot camp is a place of training. And also, there's a place of refreshing. Some of us have been saved a long time, and some of us need to check ourselves. And when's the last time we shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone? When do we go out and evangelize into the community? When do we go out and try and reach folk for the church, for the body of Christ? So we're just going to go over a couple things, a couple points tonight. I have Brother Elder Mark on the line this evening to join me and help discuss some of this. Let me encourage you. Elder Mark, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ken, God bless. How are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, brother. How are you feeling? Everything well?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Blessed and highly favored, and not by a cliche.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We know God is good, and God is a keeper and a healer. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight, now, bro, we want to touch on a couple things here tonight to continue on the series. We were talking about evangelism boot camp. We want to touch on 2 things. We're going to touch on, this is our 3rd one, so we're going to touch on the 3rd thing, making it a habit to carry a gospel. You know, because what I've learned is even in the midst of all that we do in evangelism, are we able to plant a seed in people's lives? Because that's what we're really trying to do. We're trying to plant seeds in people's lives. So as believers, as men of God, do we have little pocket Bibles ready to give away to folk? You know, we all have the little pocket Bible. We've seen them everywhere. You know, you can buy them in bulk in Christian bookstores. You can even buy them in Walmart now. Or you can get them online just on purpose to get into people's hands. And also tracks. Tracks are good tracks, because not all tracks are really, you know, some tracks are a little too superficial. But there are tracks that are real educational and engage people, make them think, and it might perk their heart. But are we in the habit of carrying them around? Do we have some in our pocket, in our coat pocket, in our pants pocket? Do we have some in our car? What are we doing, and are we on purpose about it? because I think it's the word of God that's going to get us saved. I mean, we talk about this a lot, but it's the word. And then if we think back to how we got saved, we had to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the way we came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ was through the word, the reading the word, the understanding the word, and letting the word change our heart, change the way we think. Let it be true in Bible study, in Sunday services and sermons, where the word is being taught, where the word is being explained, where application of the word is being given to the people. You know, not right now. We look around and we see a lot of churches doing a lot of stuff, I'm not gonna call anything out, but some churches you go to and there's no real substance, there's no word. It seems like it's all entertaining to make people feel good and make them. You know, we had discussion before, but it's the word of God. And as us as individuals, again, as men of God, we're going to stand before Christ, and he's going to judge our lives and what we did, and in sharing the gospel. So what do you think, sir, about your insights on the importance of starting to prepare ourselves, like any battle? We ain't got no bullets in our guns, and we don't even have our gun with us. How do we expect to be successful? So we're not going to use guns. We're going to use the metaphor of the sword. The word is the sword. So we have to be prepared. What do you say, sir?
Yes, sir. I truly agree. I have to admit that that's some place that I, as far as you were talking about, you know, having the tracks or having different, you know, different books that you can give people in evangelism. That's something that I haven't practiced very strongly. I have to be absolutely honest. I know the age of technology. I very often tend to utilize my phone for the different Bible apps. There's so many of them that I use that have the parallel, you know, have the concordance and the parallels and comparisons. But yes, we must truly be prepared, because we can talk. And understand, we've talked about this in evangelism since we started this discussion, that, you know, you don't want to just quote scripture and not help anybody apply it to their life. But even when you're giving your testimony, you still have to have scripture. You still have to know who God is. You have to have some facts, just like you said. You can't utilize a weapon. You don't understand how. You don't even understand what the weapon is. You know, we gave an analogy, and I know you just said we were going to use a sword and not guns. But if you're carrying a sword, when you're unsheathing that sword, if you don't know how to wield that sword, how to handle that sword, what to do with that sword, it's not a useful weapon for you. So if you don't know the word of God, if you don't have the word of God to use against the enemy, what is it doing for you? We can hold on to the word at home, and we can learn the word so that we can quote scripture. But if all it is memorizing scripture and doing nothing to apply it to life, or when we're out evangelizing and we're sharing with people about how good God is, we start to show them who the God we're talking about is. We can talk, we can give our testimony all day, but I think our testimony has to be in conjunction with the word. We have to use the word to show people, to let people know who God is, the promises of God, the blessings of God, the law and the call of God upon our lives. And then we still have the responsibility to show them how that enlightened us and showed us with, you know, ways to change our own lives. But if we're not prepared with the scripture, we can't tell anybody really who God is without having his word, which is the undeniable truth of who God is, the gospel. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. I agree. You know, and the thing, too, this helps us. If you have, just imagine, if you have in your pocket, in your coat pocket, I know it's wintertime now, but just the fact that you have a tract, you have a Bible, you know, they have the Bible, the Gospel of John, everyone. You know, when in the midst of doing our research and studying, you know, the evangelism, they say the Gospel of John is one of the easiest Gospels to give folks that can read and understand, no matter what your translation is. But the Gospel of John is what is recommended most times. But even that, by you having it in your pocket, on your person, in your car, and you never know when God's going to use you, because now you're prepared. because you're prepared, even if you don't have, you know, time to hold a whole entire conversation. If you plant the word in a person's hand, that just that connection from you handing them the Bible, handing them the Gospel of John, or handing them a tract, that interaction will cause them to read. Then God can use that. But we have to be in a place where, again, we have, do we have Gospels that we carry with us? Do we have tracts with us? Do we have these things in the tools? Are they ready and available in our person, on our person? So when God gives us the opportunity, or God puts on our heart, or someone to reach out to, because you never know what people, how a conversation can turn, and you could be a light to someone. Because, again, we're called to be salt and light. So that's also what it does. It reminds us, you know, having the Gospel, having little Bibles in your pocket that are directly for evangelism to give away, then that reminds us that what our purpose and what an opportunity to come, and we're ready to have it there to share. Amen. So, you know, and again, this is all boot camp stuff. We might have done it back in the day when we first got saved. I remember back in the day, churches used to go out and just walk the neighborhoods and do prayer walks. I know a lot of ministries are starting to do that again, which is good, because I think I think the Holy Spirit is speaking to a lot of folks, a lot of leaders, that we must reach these communities, get outside the four walls, go back to the communities, and start to do it the way it was done before. Because, again, this is what Jesus did. Because if those 12 men and Paul didn't do were not led by the Spirit to go and spread the gospel and follow the directions of Christ, our salvation, we wouldn't be saved. We'd be whole, the world, the gospel wouldn't be all where it is now if those people, if those disciples, if those first disciples did not fulfill the assignment God has given them. And we as Christians today have the same assignment. So what are we going to do? We have to get back into that place. And then, and for the seasoned saints, I always want to call you out. If you have claimed the name of Christ as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, and you've been more than 3 years, and what are you doing? You know, and we get caught up into trying to, I'll say this, we get caught up into the administration of ministry more than doing ministry. And we just have to check ourselves, look in the mirror. Who are we reaching for Christ? Who are we telling about the gospel? Who are we discipling folk? Do we have folk in our church right now who can't even explain the gospel? Do they know, you know, what they believe and why they believe it? Those are my favorite, those are my two favorite phrases ever since I was doing this evangelism, because if we don't know what we believe or why we believe it, how do we expect to tell anybody else about anything? We don't know. And if the folk in the church we go to don't know, and we're not raising up disciples to be able to go out. And that's what we're called to do as a body of Christ. Amen? Amen. Well, Elder, I want to come to you and ask you this too, you know, about some ways, you know, because you talked about it. I want to talk some more about it, about our testimony, because I think it's important that we be able to give our testimony clearly, precisely, and in a way where it's not a 2-hour presentation. You know what I mean? What do you say, sir? You know, the importance of being able to think through and prepare ourselves to share the thing that Christ has done for us. What do you say, sir?
Well, you know, so many of us, we have a testimony, but our testimony, and when we're out evangelizing, I think you're absolutely right. We need to understand how to make it more concise, because sometimes we're giving our testimony, and we've told our entire life story, and we've told all the hit and miss parts that we, you know, that are our proclamation of what God has done for us. But someone following along wouldn't know what we were talking about, because we jumped from space to space. And, you know, just when you think about the timeline of life, as things happen, we add parts, we miss parts. Not that we've embellished our story or skipped a part, but, you know, we've bounced around, and there's so many different things that God has done for us. Sometimes I think it's just a good idea when we're talking about evangelism to just maybe have one particular thought, one story, one part of your testimony, one part of your life where you can really express clearly what God has done for you, whether it be you know, deliverance from a past addiction, or whether it be changes in your marriage, or, you know, because, and I truly believe that the Holy Spirit, when we're evangelizing, the Holy Spirit will speak to us and give us the words that we would need to speak to that particular person. And sometimes that person may not need to hear everything about finances, because money is just not their issue. They may need to hear about a marriage, a marital relationship. They may need to hear about, you know, how you dealt with the death of a close family member. But sometimes I think we really have to just kind of make our testimony a little clearer, so that we get a little more concise, if that's the correct word or terminology, so that we can give people what they need. And that plants a seed. But I mean, sometimes when we give people, instead of planting a seed, we're trying to give them the entire harvest all at one time, and that can be overwhelming sometimes. I know I've heard many testimonies, and I know sometimes I've given my own and realized I've talked about 6 or 7 different things, but never got out the complete thought because I was so excited about, you know, what God has done for me. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with being excited about what God has done for you. That's just our call. That's a part of being a disciple, part of being an evangelist, that you are excited about what God has done for you. But in doing that, to plant that seed, we have to sometimes realize that people aren't prepared to hear everything about our lives in one short conversation. You need to know what you can say to a person that's going to draw them in and give them the reason to want more, to desire more. Just like if you're talking about a movie, if you tell somebody the end of the movie, they don't want to see the movie because they've seen the end. But if you give them a little tidbit, if you give them a little bit of information, you give them something that draws their interest, now their desire is to learn more, to understand it, to watch it for themselves. I think sometimes that's what we have to do with our testimony. Give just a little bit so that people can be enticed to want to hear more and learn more, and that seed is then planted so they'll be encouraged to go out and reach for and desire to see more of God for themselves. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. You know, that's good. And that's good because this, again, evangelism boot camp, we have to prepare ourselves. We have to be prepared to go out because no matter when we go out and evangelize, we have to be prepared to be able to share, like you said. The thing with the testimony is we have to be, you know, we have to keep it short. It used to be back in the day, it would be, can you give your testimony in between 2 and 3 minutes? Or could you share the gospel in an elevator? Could you share, you know, because, you know, we have to be, and I think what it is, we have to be on purpose about our gospel conversation. And if we want to do evangelism, we have to be on purpose about the conversation, how conversations that we have with people, with the strangers, how the gospel is up, and then are we prepared to share it? We could share about what God has done for us. We could share how our life is now. You know, it's a lot to it. And, again, we have to study to show ourselves approved. Just the scriptures are there for us. The scripture gives us direction. And then we have to be prepared to go out. So I think that's important, that each of us has to look at ourselves. How are we? What are we doing? How are we doing? How are we preparing? And then as a church in whole, as a church, the larger body of church, as a local congregation, are we preparing people to start the thinking evangelism, thinking to tell someone about Christ? Right from what you know. You don't have to make it up. You don't have to, you know, because if it's your faith, it's like me. It's like you giving your bio. You know what I mean? You know when you was born. You know who your parents are. You know where you live. You know where you've grown up. You know the jobs you've had. We should have a bio of our faith and be able to share that with someone so they can know who we are, from the stranger to even the people that have known us our whole life, but yet we're different now and renewed in our lives. To bring evangelism into a practical thing and get it to a point where everybody, every member of the body is comfortable in evangelizing and reaching the lost. Because, again, as I always says, for those who are listening, if you listen, I don't care if you've been saved a year. I don't care if you've been saved 50 years. I don't care if you've been saved since last Sunday. There's someone out there, there's a soul out there that's only going to hear the gospel from you. And they're not going to hear from your pastor. They're not going to hear from preachers on TV or radio, that you will be able to impact them because they know you. We all have circles of influence. and people who hear the things we say and will take time out. And we have to allow God to use us and know that God wants to use us and will use us. But we have to prepare ourselves. We have to know the word of God. We have to know what to share and have answers for folks. And let me say this before I come back to you, Elder, is one thing we have to understand. We don't have to have all the answers because it's not a debate. You know, we can always say, well, I need to look that up or I can get back to you. But that's opportunity to set up for the next, you know, encounter. Because people may ask you a question. Don't let that discourage you. You engage them by saying, really, let me write that down and let me look it up and I can get back to you. That's all we have to do. We don't have to have every answer. I know back in the day we would get into debates with all kinds of folks, Muslims and Jehovah's Witnesses and everybody, and think we got to answer every little thing they come up with. I've learned a long time ago, most of them don't know anything about what they're talking about. They're just reciting stuff that they know would throw most average Christian off. But we don't want to be average Christians. We want to have an answer, and then we also want to say, you know what? I don't really know, but I can find out, and we can have a conversation about it. Tell you what the Word of God says. I don't know what you heard, but I can tell you what the Word of God says. So we have to be in that place too, where we're secure in our faith and we know who we are and whose we are. Amen. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here with Elder Mark from New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders, and we are here every Monday night. Every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. as we continue to discuss the issues that affect men's lives, encourage men, and encourage them as they are leaders and as they lead in the home, in the church, and in the community. Elder, I'm going to come to you with your closing statement and pray us out. But, you know, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you taking time out. And as we continue to discuss this, and hopefully we're getting some people in shape, they're doing some spiritual exercises, some push-ups, and getting their jog, getting their wind back. And they got to run, you know, what was the qualification? You got to run a mile and a half in less than 9 minutes or something. So they got to get their legs and their lungs together. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. We're going to go out. A little bit short on that time. So.
Yeah, there we go. So, we want to encourage brothers out there, encourage the body of Christ. And we have to be able to get the word out. We have to plant the seeds of the gospel, get the gospel, the true gospel out, and get the word of God out to the lost and the dying world. What do you say, Bob? I'm giving it back to you, your closing comments, and then you can close out in prayer. And I appreciate you, Bob, for coming on and joining the program.
And it's always a blessing to be on with you, so I appreciate the opportunity. I wanted to say something, and you just kind of alluded to, you know, we talk about exercising our faith and doing what we are moving forward in our evangelism boot camp. You know, as we're learning this, this is not to say that any of us have all the answers, because we don't. And just like we spend time, I was blessed to talk to a gentleman today, and we use an analogy in our conversation, but you know, a lot of us, we want to change our ethic. We want to do something different. So we want to go out. We want to evangelize. But we run out, and for the first time, we run out. And just like that first time you work out and you haven't worked out in years, you go out and you work out, and you spend hours out there doing it, and you don't see any changes. And then you say, wait a minute, I got to do this again tomorrow? You want me to do the same exact thing again tomorrow, and I don't see any results yet. After a while, when you work out, and you worked out for a little bit of time here and there, 2 hours a day, an hour a day, for those first couple of days, even those first couple of weeks, you may not see anything. And then one day you look in the mirror, and all of a sudden you see these muscles starting you start to see these cuts on these muscles. You start to see this definition popping out. It's the same thing when we exercise our faith. Sometimes for that beginning time, you may not see a lot of changes. Things still look the same. And you're questioning, do I really have to do this again tomorrow? Do I really have to live this life again tomorrow? But as you exercise and do it more and more each and every day, soon when you start to see the results, all of a sudden things will start changing. The look, the person in the mirror starts to look a little different. So I just say that to all of you to encourage the men listening, the women on the line, anybody, all of the listeners. Keep exercising your faith. Keep pushing hard, because just because it didn't change something today doesn't mean that what you're doing, the process you're going through, isn't going to bring you the changes that you're looking for. It won't bring you the definition, the redefining aspects of life that you're looking for when you exercise your faith, when you go out, when you speak to people and you evangelize. When you do what God has called you as a disciple and evangelist, you will see the changes in your life, because that truly is a confession of your belief in God, that you'll share the power and the strength of God to change your life. You'll share that in your testimony with somebody else. That shows God your belief and your trust in Him, and He gives more blessings to you because you've shown you trust Him in each and everything, no matter what the situation may look like. We don't all have it together. The person that says they have it all together is the one that is lying and does not really know God. So as we're all learning together, I encourage you, keep on exercising your faith. Keep on stepping out and doing something different than what you did yesterday to build yourself stronger and receive more from God. I pray that you are blessed by this. I pray that you'll join us in the next conversation on this coming Saturday as we speak more about evangelism. We go further and to speak on evangelism boot camp. We just continue to encourage the men and uplift the men. Reach out to us on Facebook, on Instagram. You've heard all the web links and everything that you can utilize. Join us again on the line, and I just pray that you are blessed. Father God, we honor you and bless you and thank you for all that you are, Lord God. We continue to praise you in each and everything that we do, in each and every aspect of our life. We give you the praise, glory, and honor, for truly there is none like you. We are thankful for yet another day that we've had the opportunity, Lord God, to learn more of you and thus of ourselves. Continue to look upon us with favor and the abundance that comes from you and you alone, and we will continue to give you all the praise, honor, and glory as we pray to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Be blessed.
Amen. Good night.